say something to us, that's a truth that we can take hold of. We can say, right, the scriptures say this. I'm going to take hold of this truth and I'm going to pray this truth. I'm going to believe for this truth. I think one of the problems that we've got as a church is, I'm going to be honest with you, the commitment level is an issue. So people view church as something that they attend. So, well, do you go to church? Yes, I go to church. You know, church isn't something that you attend. Church is something that you belong to. Church isn't about attendance. It's about belonging. It's fellowship. It's a vital part of you know, what we are about as Christians, as followers of Jesus. Jesus says that he gave himself on the cross. And in giving himself on the cross, he made a way for us to become followers of him. And the vehicle by which we do that is called the church. So when the body of Jesus Christ is known as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus manifests through his body, through the church. So now, that means that if Jesus is the first thing in my life, if I really follow Jesus, I really believe in Jesus, and I want Jesus first place in my life, that means that I must have a very high priority to my church. It's got to be very high. You can't separate the two. You can't say, oh, I love Jesus, can't stand church. No. It's impossible. It's a misunderstanding there. It's impossible. They're one and the same, you see, because the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the scripture, his body on planet Earth. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, if we love the Lord Jesus, if we follow the Lord Jesus, we will love his church. We will love his church. And now the church is a place filled with people, and people have problems. And people have issues. And people will irritate you, and people will frustrate you. But you know, those people who irritate and frustrate you, God will very often use to grow you, cause you to grow, because those are the ones that you have to exercise grace towards, you know, and say, well, okay, they really frustrate me, they annoy me, they frustrate me, but you know, I'm going to walk in love, and maybe I frustrate and annoy them, and I'm not perfect, and I've got some things that may rub people up the wrong way, and so I'm going to just walk in grace, and I'm going to walk in love, and God bless you, and I, you know, and I'm not going to allow myself, who am I to allow myself to give myself the right to feel that way about another human being? I don't have that right. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that's just not it's just not the way. We must exercise grace towards one another, walk in love towards one another. And then what happens is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ begins to function as the body should function. See, I'm not satisfied with a church that's not multiplying. A church has to grow. Has to grow. A healthy church grows. If a church isn't growing, there's something wrong. So what could it be? Well, could be a lack of commitment. You see, Jesus gives us a picture of the church and what it is to be a believer. He says this. He says that if you want to follow him, you have to suit yourself No, he doesn't say that, does he? No, if you want to follow him, you have to deny yourself. Oh, but I have plans for Sunday. I'd love to come to church, but you know there's a football match on. Please. I'd love to come to church, but you know I'm so busy with the family and the, you know, and I've got to go. And no, my friends, listen to me so careful. Please listen. Jesus says this: if you want to be a real, true follower of Jesus Christ, it involves denying self and picking up your cross and then following him. But there has to be a denial of self and there is a picking up of the cross. What's the picking up of the cross? Well, it's the responsibility that God has called you to. Ephesians tells us that he has planned in advance good works that we would walk in them. The truth is, we live in a society where people are led by their feelings. I just don't feel like I want to go. I just don't feel like I... Well, let me tell you what to do with our feelings, okay? Throw our feelings in the rubbish bin. Our feelings have got nothing to do with the call of God very often. We shouldn't be dominated by our feelings. We should be dominated by the Word of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, which confirms the Word of God. And we should be people of God. Now, being a person of God means that there's a tremendous commitment in our lives to the life of Jesus. Now, how does that manifest? Well, first of all, it's to the body. And we have gleaned from the New Testament how this looks. The New Testament teaches how this Christian life should look. So for example, when we think of the early church in Acts 2 talks about the daily rhythm of meeting in people's homes, worshiping God, praying, taking communion together, studying the scriptures, sitting under the teaching of that which is clearly the apostolic teaching of the New Testament church. They sat under that, and that shaped their lives, shaped the rhythm of their life. So that was the most important thing that they could do. And that was the daily activity. Well, look what happens now. Our daily activity is such that, I'll tell you what's happened to the church in Great Britain so often. And I use the word church loosely, but it's that the church becomes a list of services that we attend. But that's not the church. The church is a body that we belong to. The ecclesia in the Greek, the called out ones. Called out of what? Called out of the world. Called out of the world to be in the fellowship, in the body. And so now you and I are part of the ecclesia. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're part of the ecclesia. Now listen to me. We must allow ourselves to be inconvenienced. People want to have a Christian life without inconvenience, because everything is on their terms. Oh, well, you know, if it is convenient, I'll attend. If it's convenient, if I can fit it in, I'll be there. No, it's not the case of if we can fit it in, we'll be there. Our commitment to the Lord is such that we're going to be there. We're going to be committed. We yield ourselves. And when I say be there, I'm not talking about the church meetings necessarily. Please don't misunderstand. I'm talking about fellowship with the Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about the meetings of the church here, just those meetings. I would include those meetings of the church, mind. I think there's three meetings of the church per week, which are on two on a Sunday and the one on a Wednesday. And I don't think that it's too much to for most people to attend those meetings. I think that's good for us to attend those meetings. I really do. And I think that probably if we can't attend those meetings, we shouldn't be attending any other meetings in the church. Those should be the main meetings. That's my honest thoughts on that. But, you know, I'm not being harsh with it. But what I'm talking about, it really, when I'm talking about commitment and meetings, I'm talking about meeting with the Lord. Because the meetings of the church are meetings with the Lord. I mean, every morning, I mean, every day, there should be meetings taking place between us as Christians and the Lord. That should be the rhythm of our lives. That should be the main focus of our lives. But I find that, you know, people are so committed to other things. I mean, I was thinking of the pastor in Canada that I heard of, and Pastor Simbler, and he was saying about, there's parents there, they say they're committed to the Lord, but, you know, their children never miss a Little League game. You know, the Little League. The children never miss a Little League game, or the children will be at the Little League game. But Sundays, well, you know, I mean, it's, you know. And they're under the delusion that they're committed and following Jesus. But you see, really, following Jesus, I mean, we're talking about the man who came and was crucified for our sins. C.T. Studd was a famous cricketer, converted by Dwight L. Moody, the evangelist. He said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice be too great for me to make for him. I mean, we're at the base camp here. We're at stage one. This is basic stuff. But this is so important to understand. Look, my passion in life must be for Jesus, and that must necessitate my commitment to his church. And look, I'm not talking about just attending meetings. That's not it either. People can be in attendance but still not be committed in this way. People can attend meetings. People have attended meetings all their lives and not really ever even started to engage in what I'm saying. It's not about just attendance of meetings, although that's a good starting point, because without that there can't be any fellowship. But what I'm saying is, look, it's about a commitment to one another, to walk in love towards one another, to be encouraging to one another, and then to celebrate one another and to bolster one another in the faith. Let me explain it like this. You have a gift. You say, oh, well, I'm too old. No, you're not too old. You have a gift. Your gift. You say, I'm too young. No, you're not too young. You have a gift. And when you speak encouragement to someone else or direction which is from God and it's genuine and it's been perhaps the result of prayer, that bolsters someone. Don't look to me to be doing all of that. We are all ministers of the gospel. And for the church to really multiply, we have to take that on board and realize you're not an also-ran. You're a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has anointed you with the Holy Spirit to minister his gospel. As each one of us. And you can minister the gospel of Jesus better than I can very often. Because I don't know what you know, and I don't know those people, but you know them. And God has put insight into you, and you can speak those words of encouragement to them. I'll never meet them, perhaps. Perhaps I'll never even talk to them, ever. But you do. You're the minister of God to them. But how does this work? This works with a daily commitment. You see, what people get tricked by this. They say, this year, I'm going to read the Bible more than ever. This year, I'm going to really be praying. I declare over this year, this will be the year, 2019, the year of more prayer, or whatever it is. You make a declaration, and it's just weak, because it doesn't happen. But this is the way to make it strong. We break the year down into days, which is what the Bible says. Let me share the scriptures with you. Please come with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, and first of all, going to the Lord's Prayer. Verse 10, we'll read from. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's talking about the will of God now on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Just an interesting thing here. You remember in the wilderness the manna that was given by God to the people in the wilderness? You remember the manna? How often was it given? It was given daily. And what weren't they allowed to do? You remember? They just had to collect enough for that day. They couldn't collect enough to store it for the next day. No, just enough for that day. Because that keeps them dependent on God for the next day. Daily dependence on God. But you see, we have a human desire to be perhaps anxious, store up, and try and, you know, no, God wants us to be dependent, looking to him daily, like looking to him daily. And so that keeps us in a good position before God. So it says that there. But then come with me later on in that same chapter, further on in the same chapter, let's go to verse 31 of Matthew 6. It says this, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And the word trouble there in the Greek, by the way, it's a word for really evil. Trouble is the connotation of trouble isn't so good in the translation. In the Greek there, it's evil. Sufficient for the days is only evil. And it means a sense of there's evil around. Every day, evil is trying to stop. Let me say this to you. Sufficient for the day is his own evil. Let me say this. I believe that evil stops people coming together in the church meetings. I really do. It's evil that stops people coming together. It's a lack of yielding. It's a lack of discernment. Very often, not always, sometimes people can't. And I don't want anyone to be condemned. I don't want anyone to feel any condemnation. But if there's conviction, good, that can come from God, can't it? You've got to know the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation's from the enemy. Conviction's from God. But I'm saying it because I want the church to grow and mature and to multiply. And I know that a church that needs to grow, mature, multiply needs to be a church that has people who are committed and tenacious in their commitment. And this is what Jesus calls us to. And this is the only way the church grows. There's no other way for the church to grow. It takes a decision of, you know what, I am going to be committed. As Jesus was committed to his cause and his path, and he called me to be committed to that, I'm going to be committed. And I'm not going to be a softy and say, well, you know, I've got other things, there's other little things I'd like, you know. No, I'm committed to this path. My first intent in life is to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, do not forsake, or the scriptures, New Testament, the word of God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some. Some people are tricked and they just forsake the assembling of themselves together. But there's more happening this morning as we meet like this than we recognize, you know, or more than we can quantify in the natural. When you leave today, if you were to say, well, what happened to you this morning? You say, well, we sang some songs and there was the thing and it was, I enjoyed it, it was good, yeah. No, there's more happening than we can quantify. Only eternity will show us, probably, if we care to look at it. In eternity. And the scriptures put it like this. It's through the foolishness of preaching that salvation comes. Through the foolishness of preaching that salvation comes. That word salvation there doesn't mean the time you make a commitment to the Lord Jesus alone. The word salvation there means it's through the foolishness of preaching. It's the word sozo. The foolishness of preaching that you enter into this all things are possible life. It's through the foolishness of preaching that you enter into an understanding of what's right and what's wrong. It's through the foolishness of preaching that during the week something happens and the Lord uses that which was said to give a direction. Just you follow. That's how this works. This is a supernatural thing. But what happens is, you see, we live in a carnal world, and our flesh, very often, the flesh is fed. And the flesh is fed, and so people want to feed their flesh rather than their spirit. And so what happens? They make a commitment. They say, yes, I belong to so-and-so church, and it's the church they attend once a week, but it's not much more than attendance. A lot of the time. But you know, each one of us in this room can pray for people during the week. Each one of us in this room can take a tract and have a tract on us and give a tract to someone. The tract's been written, it's been printed, it's right there just for delivery to someone. Each one of us could do that. What I'm saying is, what the Lord is saying here is that each day there's enough evil of its own. And the inference is this. Therefore, each day we need to be close to the Lord. Each day we need to be calling out to the Lord. Each day we need to be supporting one another with phone calls or with encouraging words and you know, interesting things. It's interesting with Facebook. You know, people put things on Facebook and stuff. Great. let's use Facebook just to inspire one another and things of the Lord. I know a couple of us who do, and that's nice. But each day we need that, because sufficient the evil is around. It says, then if we go further on, I'd just like us to go to the book of Hebrews. I haven't written the reference down, but from memory, I think it's Hebrews 3. Someone will tell me. Hebrews 3 and verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 days. And then go down to verse 12 of Hebrews 3. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But watch this. Exhort one another daily. Notice it's to the body to exhort one another daily. It's for you when you see me during the week to say, how's things with the Lord? How's things going? What's going on? Are you anything, you know, to let me know? Any prayers or what's happened? Talking about those things daily as we meet. Exhort one another daily while it's called today. While it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Isn't that something? You see what happens? So sin comes in, it deceives people. It says, oh, look, you're not important. You don't need to go. They won't miss you. Just relax. Take it easy. Just, you know, enjoy yourself. You've got other things to do. It's okay. No. It's not okay. No, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, he says, deny yourself. He says, pick up your cross, and then you follow me. And denying yourself means that you commit yourself then to that which is spiritual, which is the body, the ecclesia. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. Don't do that. And, you know, this is what I'm saying about small groups. I'm not talking, again, I repeat, I'm not just talking about those three meetings, the Wednesday evening, the Sunday morning and the Sunday evening. I'm not just talking about those. I'm talking about the meetings throughout the week, and I think those small groups can help towards that. So you can have a small group that meets on a Tuesday, or a small group that meets on a Thursday, or a Friday, or a Saturday, or a Monday. And then that becomes the meeting. And there's an order in that. And I'm going to be speaking to the leaders of the small groups. And I want the small groups then to really be encouraging the members in the groups to really be about the business of the church. Encouraging one another, lifting one another up, actively engaging in looking to evangelize. Or maybe starting a small group to pray, let's say, for these meetings that will take place, the evangelistical meetings that are taking place, or the deliverance of tracts to people. So in Hebrews 3 and verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I'll just read on. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. My friends, I'm going to close. But I just want to close with this. Daily we should live for the Lord, and we ought to shape our lives in this service. And for our spiritual health, there's a little check. I want to leave us with this check. I want you to think about this for the rest of the day. These, just check this in yourselves the rest of the day. These are the signs of a healthy Christian life. Okay? Number one, there's worship taking place every day. Okay? Number two, there's fellowship taking place every day. It's vital that there's fellowship. I haven't got time to go into these this evening. I'm going to go into these. So I'm going to break these apart. We look into these in more depth this evening. So worship, number one. Fellowship, number two. The third one, discipleship. Growing disciplined as a disciple. You know, each of us will give an account to the Lord. There's an account to give on that day to the Lord for how we lived in the body whilst on earth. Well, discipleship is a core aspect of that walk, of how we lived. Discipleship has various things involved with it. I'll go into those this evening. Number four, ministry. How did we serve one another? You are called to serve one another. So how do you serve? How are you currently serving the church? How are you serving the church? You're called to serve. You're called to, that's what it is to be a minister, by the way. We know that, don't we? So to be a minister, we serve the church. Well, how do you serve the church? It's vital that we are all involved in this. To some degree, there's something you can do. Now, the enemy tells you you've got nothing to offer. It's a lie. You've got a lot to offer. God has deposited precious gifts in you. Precious gifts in you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You may have a lot of negative things said about you by people, and it's not the truth. You're fearfully and wonderfully. God knows how many hairs there are on your head. You're so precious to God. And He's deposited His precious gifts in you. You're a treasure of God. And I'm telling you this, every time you come into the church, it thrills God, it thrills us. Because you're precious. We may not say it all the time. We don't want to be gushing, do we? But it's the truth. That is the truth. And you have something to give to someone else. It may be over coffee afterwards. It may be before the service, whatever. It could be a prayer, a testimony that's taken place in the service. I don't know. It could be all sorts of things. But I do know this. You absolutely have something to give into the fellowship. And that's why you're very important. Your ministry is called for and ordained by God. That's service. And the fifth one, which is vital, evangelism. And that's the last point I'm going to mention. But that's absolutely vital. And you say, well, I'm not perhaps an evangelist. You don't need to be an evangelist. But if you're a Christian, you're called to evangelism. Not everyone has the office of an evangelist. But every Christian is called to evangelism of some kind, to contribute to it in some way. Maybe you can't see yourself doing something now, but in the future it'll develop. But in some way there's going to be evangelism. It was so precious, you know, when we went out on Christmas time and we were singing those hymns around, and I think it was Ruth who said, oh, this is so precious. She said, I'd love to be doing this all the time. Because, you know, you saw people's reaction, and people were happy to see us. You know, people were coming to the doors and they were waving at us, you know, and they were just so happy. And some people gave money, and it was just so nice. There's a real need for the good news to be shared. It's palpable. As you walk around the houses here, you can feel that need. And we have a team that goes out, and we're going to be going out more and more, and going out and handing out tracts to people, talking to people, and evangelizing. So Living Faith Church, there's a lot going on in Living Faith Church. I believe what God is asking you this morning is this. What level of commitment do you currently have? And what level of commitment are you going to commit to for the future? You make that commitment daily, but you make a commitment today. I believe it's important to be engaged in his work. Amen? Very important. And let's share this with those who aren't here this morning, as the Lord leads us. Let's share this with them and say, hey, this is what we've been talking about. This is the direction that we're going down as a church. And start talking about that and seeing where that leads. Okay, let's close in prayer.